The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Religion is a place, an institution, a time to feel comfortable, but it's also a place to feel challenged. And this morning, I'm going to guarantee both that comfort and that challenge, starting with the prelude and continuing through the postlude. Our faith spans theologies, it spans beliefs, and it also spans musical styles. And you may be thinking, what is he talking about? Where's he going with this? Usually he just rings a bowl and plays the music. Yeah, right? So here's my, just be ready. If heavy metal isn't your jam, then just let the prelude wash over you. Listen for the lyrics and the feeling witnessed to in this genre. So listen now to our prelude, A House Divided by Megadeth. I don't think I ever anticipated being like, oh, prelude today? I'm thinking Megadeth, maybe. No. But the lyrics. This is a sad day for violence. When speech results in silence, I'm supposed to hate you, you're supposed to hate me, we can never agree. I mean, these words strike true for me this election season. If there's an election happening, did everyone know that? It's coming up. But also the emotion in this music, right? You don't even need to listen to the lyrics. That emotion for me is striking chords, catch that? Of what's happening this election season, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling. We're in a debate of us versus them, a war for the country, a struggle for rights and freedoms. I mean, especially in battleground states like Pennsylvania, right? I mean, just the words that we use talk about division. And I'm told not only whom to vote for, but whom to hate in this fight to the finish. Just this morning, there was a news article, the final blitz is here, right? These are not words about coming together and being a house united. It's about a house divided. But hold on, we're in a church, right? A fellowship. We're in a religious setting. What name we use, that was another sermon. You can go back and read about why we're called a fellowship. But we're in a religious setting, right? A place for no politics, right? Well, no, yes and no. Yes and no. This is a place where everyone is welcome to bring their whole selves, their entire selves, which includes your political ideas, your heartaches, your joy, your pain, right? That's all part of you. You bring your whole self. Yes, a place where everyone is encouraged and welcome to bring their whole selves. I just said that same thing because remember that as you bring your pain, your joy, there are others whose true selves include the opposite of what you are feeling, right? I bring my true self. The person next to me may be in stark contrast. I am not going to promote one candidate for many reasons. I am not going to do that. However, I am going to promote the comforting, the challenging faith, which hopefully will inform how you live, including inform how you vote. I am Reverend Andrew L. Weber, and I'm so happy that you are here today. You who join us via technology, those of you in person, those of you who may watch this later and are not even here with us at the same time, your presence makes this community. You bringing your whole selves, you create this. Our community is heightened and created by you bringing your highs, your lows, your pains, your joys, and we are only through all of you coming together in your fullness. Your You who come here, who are moved to tears through thrashing guitar chords. And you who wince in irritation. You're like, oh, is it done yet? Right? Your place is here, next to the person who is so excited that the postlude is going to be a vocal jazz piece. Next to the person who's like, what did he just say? Can I leave early? Vocal jazz, right? Come together. Welcome and welcome. Welcome to all of you. And welcome to all of you. So come. Let us be together in our diversity. Come, let us join our divisions and celebrate our humanity. Come, let us worship together. This morning, we join with Unitarian Universalists, communities across the country and around the globe, in the simple and meaningful ritual of lighting our chalice. I've asked Judy Mole to light our chalice. This light, which can stand for so much, for peace, for hope, for a struggle, for celebration, a beacon for what is most important to you personally and what is most important to this community as a whole, and all those at once. Please light the chalice as I read these words from Reverend Angela Herrera. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards and the world needs vision. Bring them with you, and your joy and your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your power to heal. There is work to do, and you have all that you need to do it right here in this room. Amen. At Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, we also light a peace lamp in recognition and hope and in inspiration of the work we need to do in our lives and in the world for peace. Please join me with the responsive words. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
Thank you. And thank you, Judy. Our gathering song today is number 95. Number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere. There are hymnals in the back. If you want a hymnal, there will also be lyrics on the screen. And as usual, I cannot guarantee that the number of verses will be the exact same between the hymnal and the screen. So follow along, be brave. Please stand in body or in spirit and move to the side so people can see the screen.
There is more love somewhere.
Thank you. It's like I planned to make that different than the hymnal. I actually forgot that it wasn't the exact same. It was a good example, though, to be aware, to be ready for anything. You never know what's going to happen here, except it tells you right there. So next we're having a story, and I've asked Kevin Dooley to please come forward and share this story. And if anyone, especially if you can't see or if you're small and just want to come up front, feel free to come on up front.
I'm going to sit.
You want a chair? Sorry, there aren't any. Here, we'll get you a chair. Here's one. Okay, this is a heavy chair.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next year. These shots aren't working yet.
Appreciate it. We disagree. Hello, hello. Do you like figs? Oh, no, I don't. I snack on twigs. Do you like blue and polka dots? No, I like red. I don't like spots. Do you like newts and toads and frogs? No way. I just like prairie dogs. Do you like warm and sunny skies? I prefer gray. Sun hurts my eyes. Do you like skates? Do you like bikes? I don't like wheels. I'd rather hike. You must like flutes, guitars, and drums. No, no, and no. I'd rather hum. Hum, 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 di-di-dum. What's wrong with blue? What's wrong with frogs? What's wrong with gray and prairie dogs? We don't agree. We can't be friends. There's nothing more. This is the end. Yes, I agree. Wait, what did you say? What happens next? We just agreed. I'm quite perplexed. We're not the same. Indeed, that's true. Agreed again. But why choose blue? Well, blue is sea and blue is sky. But red is leaves and cherry pie. Hey, let's disagree more. Let's disagree, yes. Do you like friends? I'll let you guess.
Let's leave this slide up for a moment. Well, as an example of making errors, which I'm always happy to do, to show we're all human, but it looks so nice on my screen. It had two different versions here. It said, may the love of God surround you, or may the spirit of love surround you. I'll have to come back and mess with that and see what happens here. And I was going to ask you, what do you think about this new format, the text? Because if this is your first time, or if you didn't note it, well, everyone notices now because it's messed up. It's okay, but the composer of this hymn, of the hymn we use for children's recessional hymn, explicitly forbade changing her lyrics, which was the love of God. Now, many Unitarian Universalist communities change the lyrics to not include this short and challenging word of God. And so they put spirit of love or some other phrase with the same meter, right? And by including both options, I was hoping to try to be true to this community of believers and non-believers, while also holding true to the composer's wishes. So some will be offended by mentioning God. Some will be offended by changing a composer's words who asked it not to be changed. So who here would be offended or disagrees one way or the other? Like, oh, that word God, or oh my gosh, the composer's integrity. Or what are you doing with the formatting? Didn't you just spend 5 minutes to look at what would it look like? You can, I won't look if you're offended or like upset. I'm offended by this, actually, so. Yeah. Great. If you agree with everything that goes on here and everything that I say, I mean, then something's not right. That's how we do religion, right? You can go past that slide. I don't need to see that. I'm reminded of a joke that was shared at worship committee just this week. We're at worship committee talking about our worship services, and the joke was, a visitor comes to a service and experiences a Unitarian Universalism for the first time. And it actually doesn't matter what the service was about, whether it was a minister-led or a member or visitor-led service. Someone asked this person who came for the very first time, so what did you think? How was the service? And the visitor says, oh my gosh, I'm disagreeing with every single thing that was done. And they say, oh great, you'll fit right in. I mean, that's okay. Not that we'd say, yes, you should disagree with everything, or you should agree. I mean, that's sort of the point. Think for yourself. Right? Unitarian Universalism is not a faith to provide theological truths, nor is it a faith with which you should agree on every single point. Our faith is one of diversity, of variety, and sometimes even conflict. Right? That's all right. What we agree on, though, what we are tasked with agreeing upon, what we remind ourselves that we say we're going to agree on by lighting our chalice, by reading at business meetings, and through our worship and our time together, what we agree on is a way of living in community and living with each other. We come together knowing that we will try to be kind, knowing that we will try to always keep love at the center of what we do, even when, especially when, we disagree on theology, on lyrics, on formatting of the slides, on music choices, on any of the things, on where the seats are set up, right? I mean, we can disagree all over the place. But if we agree on that way of acting with each other, that's our faith. And here's actually where I come back to see I mentioned earlier, and where I come back here to the two of my main purposes of religion. If you want to know, like, why do we have religion? What's the faith for? Two of my main purposes, and I've said that multiple times, are to comfort and to challenge. Have people heard me say that before? I hope. Like, I say this, comfort and challenge. I see at least one nod. That's good. That's good enough. The comfort is our commitment to live with love at the center. The challenge is to live with love at the center while in disagreement, right? I mean, that's my plan for you today, is to comfort you and to challenge you. So I'll start with comfort. Let's start there. Who here could use some comfort? I mean, I could, absolutely. Yeah, right? I mean, life is full and busy. Work is rewarding and demanding. Time is valuable and fleeting. The weather is beautiful and scary. Right? I mean, and then there's this thing called the election, right? There's an election happening. And the future of our country and our very way of living is at stake. So is anyone else feeling like this? Some stuff going on? Yes. Okay. You can say amen. You can say yes. We get stuff. Did Linda just say amen? It must be bad. The times are tough. Yeah. Right. We're in a place of anxiety as a culture, as a community. Many of us as individuals. So shout out. What are you feeling? Just anything. Pain, frustration, joy, hope, boredom. Anxiety. Oh, some anxiety in the room. Optimism, hope, excitement, angst, stress, anger, exhaustion. We could just stop and just keep going, right? All of that in one community, possibly some of this overlapping in ourselves. Sometimes I double dip with worship. Surprise, I like church, I like worship. And the worship I attended virtually this morning, the minister said, "I am so hopeful and so anxious at the same time. I'm preparing," she was saying, "for both outcomes, for any outcome on Tuesday." That's tiring, that's trying. No matter which way you want or wish something to happen, it's like, oh my gosh, it could be either. We're holding all these emotions together. And so here's my gift to you. Here's the comfort. Stop. Stop the judging. Stop fighting the struggle inside of you. Just be. It's easy to say, I know. It's not as hard to do. For this hour, for this hour 10, depending on how long I go, maybe we'll have some more Megadeth. Like for this hour, yeah, let it be. For this time, there is nothing required of you except to bring your true selves here. That feeling of anxiety at the election, see it, name it. Oh, I have anxiety. Don't judge it, let it be. That crush of all the things that you have to do after service, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this and that. Just name that, see that, let it be. You don't have to judge it. Whatever you have going on inside, whatever it is, see it, name it, and just let it be. There's no need to change. Let those feelings be and breathe, right? Breathe in, out. Keep breathing. You are worthy of love. Yes, you. You are worthy of love. Even that part of you, all of you, is worthy of love. This is a safe space to be angry, to be frustrated, to be joyous, to be hopeful, and breathe, right? Now, holding on to that mindset of self-awareness. But now also remember, you are not alone, right? You are not alone. You are in community of a splendid variety, a community where it very well may be that what brings me joy and comfort brings my dear friend anger or hurt. I do like heavy metal. I do like it. The rhythm and the lyrics, they touch me here. They resonate with my soul and they resonate with me, right? I do not like jazz. I'll tell you right now, it just doesn't do it. That smooth syncopation like grates at the very place which is lifted up by an epic guitar solo. Now you very well may be the exact opposite. You could be the exact opposite. And remember to breathe. When we are in relationship, the joy in my life will interact with the sorrow in yours. The joy in your life will interact with the sorrow in mine. When we are in relationship, your hope will interact with my trepidation. Let's go further. Let's talk election for a little bit. And breathe. And breathe, right? And breathe, keep breathing. You may be knocking on doors, promoting a certain candidate because your personal rights depend on her winning. And you may be knocking on doors, promoting a certain candidate because your rights depend on him winning. Oh, did you see what I did there? Right? Yeah, okay. That's what it is. It's both ways. This is our challenge, right? The challenge which is created through the support of our faith. The one necessitates the other. The Unitarian Universalism can't be all comfort. If we're all comfort, then we're homogeneous. We're not the diverse community that we want to be. The disagreement, the conflict, the challenge comes because we value differences. That's where it comes. Oh boy, hold on. We were just feeling held in love and care, right? Wasn't that comforting? Yes. You are, but we each need to make sure that our individual pain, our anxiety, our hopes, our dreams, our fears don't adversely impact those with whom I am in relationship with, right? That's the challenge. The challenge is to live our values, to live our shared values of right action, the shared value of holding love at the center, our shared value of the inherent worthiness and dignity of everyone, right? And loving to and loving with people who might vote differently than us, whose values are so opposed that we think it absurd to even consider voting another way while holding love at the center. That's our challenge. While we are in the midst of this house divided, a country split apart by language, split apart by actions, which seems the actions and the language seem purposefully to divide, to rip us apart, right? I mean, that's, I think, our religious imperative. To live our values not just inside these hallowed walls, but inside the walls which we make hallowed in our schools, in our places of business, in the grocery stores, outside of the walls, walking, picketing, voting, driving, right? To remember the worthiness of ourselves, the worthiness of other people, while we watch the news. It just got real, right? Oh, watch the news and remember that we say others are worthy of love. That when we're campaigning, when we're voting, others are worthy of love. Oh my gosh, right? So it's easy to say, and it's easy for me to get up here and say, it's like, hey, I love everyone. Yeah, it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. What does this look like? This challenging religion of peace in the midst of division? I mean, how can I act or what do I say when all I want to do is yell or hide and scream or run? Remember to breathe, right? Keep breathing. We're still breathing. Then remember that each vote, each political sign, each campaign ad, every little slight and offense to your views was created and in some sense valued by another person who is also worthy of love. Wow. Who is trying to do what is right for them. Now, I made an assumption there, and you may be saying, hold on a second, Andrew, hold on a second. Yeah, I saw that. Like, my quote is, what is right? They're trying to do what is right for them. Now, we may view that as selfish, what is right for one person, as short-sighted, what is right for us, but here, but not in the long term. What is right could be ignorant, not understanding the outcomes, or even narcissistic. That's another topic for another time. Right now, we need to have some foundation of assumed good intentions, assumed trying to do what is right. So what do we do from here? Now, luckily, I have a 3-point plan for holding love at the center this election season. I actually do. And it can be used at any time by anyone. So it's not just the election. It's like any time you can do this 3-point plan. Yeah. It's a concept of, it's a good plan. Hear me out here. Yes, hear me out. It goes past the election. But be warned, as usual, right? When I say something simple, you're like, hold on a second. I know he's gonna mess with me, right? Although this 3-point plan is simple, it is not easy. It is not easy. But if you take notes during worship, now's the time to like get out your pencil and paper, text your, get out your phone, text, compose a text to yourself. It's like, what are the 3 things he's going to say, right? A plan, actually in 3 words, humility, curiosity, openness. That doesn't sound so hard, does it? Now, don't say I didn't warn you, Right, I need to be transparent. I'm going to start out with transparency because I'm holding our shared faith as a foundation. That is, we value pluralism and we value individual worthiness. If you don't want differences of belief to exist, or if you don't see others as having inherent value, then the plan falters. So I have that as my foundation. But with that in place, it's as simple as humility, curiosity, and openness. Spiritual actions which stem from our theological grounding. Humility is the ability to take on our own opinion and recognize that even though it is our truth, it may not be the truth for someone else. Right? When talking theology, this is sort of like bread and butter for Unitarian Universalism. Of course, there are many paths to the divine. What I call God, you may call nature. When I say prayer, you might say meditation. My Diwali celebration is not hindered by you celebrating All Saints Day. Heck, it might actually be heightened. The two might interact and help each other, right? Unitarian Universalism is wonderful. We're really good at theological humility. We're so good at theological humility that we're very bad at evangelism. And we're very bad at like keeping those who grow up in our faith in the faith. Because we're so good at theological humility, right? I'm not going to push my theology on anyone. I won't even tell you at risk of offending. Nothing. I mean, no, I'm not. No way. Absolutely not. But we're bad at humility in other parts of our lives, right? In other values. I'm going to name some values which we might not be so humble about. Gun rights. Access to abortion, environmental regulation, military spending. Okay, where is the humility now? This is the challenging part of the service. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, but there's a right and a wrong to these. That's where I'm looking to challenge you. Right? Can you be humble now? Can you be humble enough to know that your belief about military spending, about gun rights, might not be true for someone else? That's the humility I'm talking about. Now, these three steps are all related. They build on one another. So the second point stems from the first, from a place of humility, a place that recognizing that someone may have a different truth than ours. And secondly, we come to curiosity. And this is what they did in the book about why blue and why red is exciting and why they like them. Curiosity is the ability to approach any idea without judgment, without argument, without disagreement. So curiosity is asking questions and listening to the answer. Oh, you're voting for this person without judgment. Can you tell me what appeals to you? And why is that stance important to you? What would it look like to ask those sorts of questions? I mean, that's scary for one. And also really, really hard. You see, you might have to have a sort of foundation of care, a foundation of assumed dignity for this one, to move on to humility and then come to curiosity. For contempt and derision can easily come in to undermine curiosity. Oh, what appeals to you about that candidate? I mean, why is that important to you? I'm curious about what people like you are thinking. Right? That's not actually curiosity. That's disdain sort of masking as curiosity. True curiosity is defined by humility and leads into openness. Openness is the third one. Openness as being receptive to another viewpoint. Not openness such that we have no beliefs ourselves. Right? I'm not saying don't hold any belief as sacred. I'm saying being open to acknowledge that there may be value in someone else's opinion. Curiosity and openness bounce, so they sort of bounce back and forth. Tell me more about why the border wall is important to you. While listening, without judgment or rebuttal. Can you share with me why reproductive rights are so important to you? Without trying to persuade or argue. Ooh, gosh, right? Most people, though, would be happy to share. And I'm betting most people don't get a chance to do so, to share outside of groups whom they know will agree with him, for fear of what that reaction is going to be, right? I mean, who here is like, I wrote this, I'm preaching this, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I could do that, right? Well, I've come to the what now portion of the sermon. So the message is going to be wrapped up with a nice tidy bow and a few quotes from famous Unitarian Universalists. You can post it on social media and go on the next thing on your Sunday to-do list, right? Well, sort of. Because this is also the part of the service where I charge you. I charge all of us to live our values. So here goes, live your values. Oh, that was easy. Yeah, live your values. Done. Right? Live the value also, because one of our values is also supporting the democratic process. Oh my gosh. Look at your values. Look at your Unitarian Universalist values. Look at what you hold dear, what you hold valuable, what to you is most important. Pray about it, meditate on it, and get out there and vote. Like, I mean, I can't say that enough. Like, go vote. Go vote with your values informing how you vote. But don't forget about your other values while you're going voting or while you're preparing for the vote on Tuesday, right? Don't forget the rest of the service, the value of worthiness, yourself included, that you are worthy of love, that the other people voting are worthy of love. Oh, don't forget the comfort, the love you feel here. Don't forget to spread that comfort, to spread that love via a bit of challenge. That challenge, right? Start with love. Come from a place of mutual shared worthiness. Then work toward humility, curiosity, openness. This may be a trying week. Whatever happens, the outcome of the election, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And then next week, come back. Come back here, right? When you are brokenhearted and don't feel at home in this country, when you are overjoyed that your voice has been heard and the future is looking up, come back. But remember that whatever you are feeling as this election is decided, there will be others who are feeling the opposite in the world, in your community, possibly right here, right? When you are in pain, others will be in celebration. When you are in joy, others will feel betrayed. So we'll do our best as a community to be here for all of you. So keep with you that humility, that curiosity, that openness. You are worthy of love. So is your neighbor. Now please go vote, and please go and be kind. Amen and amen. Our hymn, as we ponder these words, as we hear the difficulty, the comfort, is "Where is our holy church?" And the cartoon, hopefully, you'll see it, where the church is. I love that. It's 113 in the hymnal. You may rise in body or in spirit to sing, "Where is our holy church?"
Where is our holy church?
Thank you, Reverend Weber, for a thought-provoking sermon, as usual. I'm Cindy Westfall, and this is Matters of the Heart. Not CNN, this is Matters of the Heart. We are a fellowship, a community with friendship and relationship at its heart. We hold love and care for each other as the burning ember of our purpose. We embody the importance of care for each other every week as we set aside time for sharing the matters of our hearts. If you have a sorrow or a joy which overflows into this beloved community, I invite you to come forward and share briefly into the microphone. Those of you online can raise your hand and you will be unmuted if you wish to share.
I believe we can bring this time of sharing to a close, as we often do, by singing Spirit of Life. The words and music will show up here on the screen in just a moment.
I came here 18 months ago, not in a really good way. When I came in, I've never shared, but I healed with the good grace of this fellowship. So thank you for that. Thank you all for that, giving me that space and grace. I find it a quiet space to come and be. So I would ask, just as we reflect on the sorrows and the triumphs and the Jell-O shots that were shared with us. I never got a Jell-O shot, I'm just saying. If we could close our eyes and take a nice deep breath in and out. And hold ourselves and the people who shared and all of those of us who didn't share in the light, the healing light. With every breath in, and every breath out. You can open your eyes. Thank you for that indulgence. And I would just like to end saying, the spirit in me bows to the spirit in all of you. Namaste. Thank you.
Our closing hymn is number 134, Our World is One World. The lyrics will be on the screen and they can be found in your hymnal. So please rise in body or in spirit for Our World is One World. As I stated, our postlude will be some vocal jazz. Please stay for that after the announcements, even if that's irritating to you, especially if it soothes and calms your soul. The message of the music and the lyrics is useful and helpful. I extinguish these flames, these symbols of our faith, knowing that we each, all of us, carry these flames on in our lives, the hope for peace, the hope for love-centered action, with these words by Hosea Ballou. If we agree in love, no disagreement can do us any harm. If we do not agree in love, no other agreement can do us any good. Amen and blessed be.